Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
The R&B Tour starring Usher Raymond and Chris Brown is coming to Northwest Stadium on July 10th and 11th. Tickets are on sale now, a Live Nation show. Keep listening to 105.7 The Fan for your chance to win tickets, courtesy of Live Nation.
This is WJZ-FM, Catonsville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 The Fan, and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
The Ravens feel like they got a sure thing with first-round draft pick Venga Ioane, but it remains to be seen where he'll slot in for this new-look O-line. He mostly played at left guard in college, but Baltimore has already brought back John Simpson earlier in the offseason, and he's exclusively played left guard in his career. Could the team ask Ioane to flip to the other side as a rookie? Here's his reaction to that idea.
Yeah, for me at Penn State, I played both left and right, a little bit of center as well. You know, shout out to Phil Charwin, my line coach at Penn State. You know, he made sure every day we were rotating left and right just to, you know, get used to it. But out here, it's, you know, definitely a little bit of work to get used to again, but ain't much to it.
And last night in the Western Conference semifinals, the Timberwolves outlasted the Spurs 104-102 to give themselves an early advantage in the series. Anthony Edwards shocked everyone by suiting up when he was expected to miss at least the first two games with a bone bruise. He went on to score 18 off the bench, including 11 in the fourth quarter, spoiling Victor Wembanyama's 11-point, 15-rebound, and 12-block triple-double in the process. The series continues tomorrow night in San Antonio. From the Bob Bell Automotive Weather Center, plenty of sunshine with highs in the mid-80s. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
News from the Nest is sponsored by Window Nation. During Window Nation's Buy 4, Get 4 free sale, you could save big on new windows. Plus, you could get no money down and no payments or interest for 2 years. Sale ends soon, so visit WindowNation.com now.
News from the Nest, Vinny at Andy, 105.7 The Fan, on the Started Up Tuesday, cranking up to 12, pick a song, we'll play it loud. Send a request to the Plaza for text line at 410-583-1057. Ravens rookie minicamp was this past weekend, only open to the media for a half an hour, and then you had some of the rookies get in front of a microphone and address the masses out there in Owings Mills, and one of those players was Josh Cuevas. Fifth-round tight end out of the University of Alabama, talking about a lot of things. And one of those things was going up against his new teammate, Zion Young, when they were in college.
Yeah, there was a few times. And there's many questions asked about, Zion during the combine process. And some coaches would ask me, like, who's one of the hardest players you've gone against? And initially, whoever popped in my head, Zion Young. He's got so much potential, and, I mean, his ceiling is just tremendously high, and, I mean, he does everything right. And he's got a deep bag, spin move, push-pull, bull rush, everything. So, we've gone up against each other a few times. One of the other guys actually went up against him one-on-one, and he kind of did a little chop move, and I did that to him in Mizzou. And he's like, you taught him that? And I was, I don't know. That's a vet move right there, but... We kind of go back and forth with each other. He's a good guy.
The thing with Zion is he definitely looks the part. He looks good in his uniform. Haven't really seen him do a bunch yet, but his movements and stuff were fine, you know. And, you know, like I said, we were only out there 30, 40 minutes is what Bob, you know, like Bob just said. So just got a chance to kind of check out the body types and stuff. But I liked what I saw with him. I like Cuevas too. I think Cuevas is going to be all right. I just like the way that he moves around, and I like his size because he's kind of got a little thickness to him. So I liked those two guys.
And Cuevas is a guy that comes in what capacity, because he's going up with another tight end here. They're probably both going to make the team, let's be honest.
And third and fourth rounders,
Hibner. But who becomes more of the likely, not that they're likely per se. Who becomes Kohler? Who becomes likely here?
I think that's yet to be determined, Bob. I wish somebody would become likely, but be, you know, take over the number one spot for Andrews. But I, Bob, this could end, and excuse me, this could end up being kind of like Chicago, like starting out, whereas like Komet, who's in Chicago, was in Chicago's offense. That's Mark Andrews now in this offense, whereas Komet was like the guy at early on, and then the young guys kind of took over later. So I'm hoping, you know, we'll see. If one of these guys, either Hibner or Quavo, can be the guy that can separate, create separation, you know, both can run down the middle of the field. So is there the guy that offensively becomes a bigger part of the game? Because I think Andrews is what Andrews is. He's never going to be a guy that's great against man coverage anymore, you know, because he has a hard time separating.
Going into his ninth year, believe it or not.
Yeah, that's crazy. So they're looking for a young explosive. They need some explosion, you know, I mean, Bob, because really when you look at the receivers, they're contested catches guys and the tight end. They need some explosion from somewhere.
Now, Cuevas, young kid, wasn't even alive when Ozzie Newsome was applying his trade as a Hall of Fame tight end for the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, Ozzie no longer the GM, but still, you know, has a lot of input into what happens at a one winning drive. But if you follow your football, you certainly know a legacy guy like Ozzie. And by the way, an Alabama alum.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Josh Cuevas talking about the first time he met Ozzie Newsome.
Yeah, absolutely. So after practice yesterday, he kind of came up to me just saying, "Roll Tide, man. Like, so happy you're here." You know, I was kind of starstruck when he got on the phone with me. And because, I mean, all we talk about at Alabama in the tight end room is really kind of like the legends that walk through here and the standard we need to uphold. That man holds all the records, receiving and all the stuff like that. So it's like something that we look up to and we strive for. So when I met him yesterday, I mean, you know how you're just usually supposed to go with one hand, and, like, that's more professional. I'm trying to hold on to my hand longer, please. I mean, shoot. But, no, it was great meeting him, just kind of seeing a legend in front of my face. But, I mean, that's what Baltimore gives you, so.
I like his comments and stuff, Cuevas, you know, because he seems, like, very comfortable and a confident guy. And he's happy to be a Raven. And a chance to meet, you know, a guy that you've heard a lot about and, you know, not only an NFL stud, but Alabama, you know, so that's pretty cool for that kid, you know, on his first or second day in the building.
Yeah, when Ozzie played at Alabama for Bear Bryant, they weren't throwing the ball a ton.
No.
I mean, they won the wishbone. They had all kind of crazy offenses going. Throwing the ball down the field was not a strength, but when Ozzie got to the NFL, he became one of the great tight ends in the history of the National Football League. But what about Hibner, getting back to him, as we compare the two? I mean, is there any resemblance between either guy? Is either guy going to be an online blocker that's going to, you know, kind of,
I would say,
replace a Patrick Ricard sort of run difference maker here?
Cuevas would be that guy, Bob. He would be the one that would have that chance just because saw him line up at fullback, saw him line up in line. So we'll see once the pads come on. Now with Hibner, he's got narrow hips and he looks like a big wide receiver, Hibner. So he's going to have to show me when the pads come on that he can line up there and be able to stack at the point and do those kind of things that he needed to do if he was in line.
Now, we talked about this earlier. If you missed the news, it happened actually yesterday. Skylar Thompson signs with the Ravens. He's now the fifth quarterback on the roster. He was a seventh-round draft pick out of K-State by the Dolphins. Camp competition, because we know your number one quarterback is Lamar Jackson. Number two is Tyler Huntley, yep, who really revitalized his career with the Ravens last year. And then you have Diego Fabia and Fagnoni from UConn, and now Skylar Thompson added to the mix.
Yeah, I think they want Bob. I mean, what they're looking for is, I mean, because whoever it's going to be is going to be the practice squad quarterback. So just be able to hold your own in the quarterback competition, you know, during training camp. You know, don't just because like Cooper Rush and I don't even remember who the other one was last year that were out there. They were awful. I mean, you couldn't tell the difference between Cooper Rush, who had won five NFL games for the Cowboys, which I still can't believe how
nine
he did
and
that.
Five.
Nine games, yeah, which I still I don't know how they did that. Because Cooper Rush, he had a hard time throwing the ball, moving around. You know, so just be able to just operate the offense so we could evaluate everybody. You know, like when quarterbacks can't complete balls to receivers and stuff, how are you evaluating receivers? So, I mean, that's the thing. They just, and these guys are going to get a ton of work, Bob, in the preseason because I don't even know if Huntley needs any work in the preseason.
It's 5-8-8-1-0-5-7 The Fan. When we come back, we'll count some dough. Buy or sell. Talk about sports subjects of the day, like the Orioles in Miami taking on the Marlins coming up tonight down in South Beach after losing five straight, getting swept in New York, which is an ugly series unless you're a Yankee fan. Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, Ravens Wire, talking about the team with him. The Ravens, that is. How are they situated personnel-wise? And is the starting center for the 2026 Ravens currently on the roster?
After Vinny and Haney, it's Inside Access.
The weekend in the Bronx didn't go as expected, but what did Mike Fornick think about the O's against the Yankees, and how can they get better defensively? Also, Big Ben McDonald from Masson joins us, and what's he think about the starting pitching? He'll tell us.
Next on Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show. 105.7 The Fan. Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Buy or Sell is sponsored by Jones Bel Air Hyundai. Visit them to buy or sell your car. See Kevin Brammer for a new or used vehicle with over 2 million likes and reviews. You too will be a satisfied customer. Visit BelAirHyundai.com today.
Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Turn it up Tuesday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Orioles in Miami taking on the Marlins, trying to stop a five-game skid. NFL waiting for the schedule release coming up here another week or so. OTAs will start kicking off, if you will. NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs moving into the next round, and other things going on in your sports fun, too. Right now, let's count some early week money by yourself.
All right. We got some. We got a lot of green on the phone today. The Dow is up 267. S&P's up 56. NASDAQ is up 241. DraftKings up 34 cents. Under Armour is up 16 cents.
Starting in the NBA today, where the Celtics went from trendy champion picks to out in the first round after dropping three straight to Philadelphia. And afterwards, nothing but sour grapes for Jaylen Brown, who took aim at both the refs and Joel Embiid, saying, quote, "Embiid is a great player, one of the best bigs in basketball history, but he flops. This isn't breaking news. It is what it is." Also took exception to being called for more offensive fouls than others on the court, even though he saw similar play or similar physicality happening all around him. Says, quote, "They clearly had an agenda," talking about the refs. "I don't know if it's because I pissed the refs off." Brown was called for 10 offensive fouls in the first round, twice as many as the next highest player in the league. Bob, are you buying or selling Brown's claims that the refs were out to get him?
I'm going to sell it. I have no problem ragging on referees or umpires. I've made that perfectly clear on Baltimore Airways for 27 years. They just choked. Now, not having Jason Tatum in Game 7 did not go well for them, as they got housed in the fourth quarter of that game. Does Joel Embiid flop? Sure he does. So does LeBron James, Luka Doncic, and multiple other players. It's up to the referee to enforce the rules. Are they out to get him because he can openly criticize? And I like his openness in that because he takes a financial hit on top of it. But were they out to get him personally? I'm going to sell that.
Over to the NFL, where Baker Mayfield has outplayed his contract these past 2 years in Tampa Bay. Just one more year remaining before he hits free agency, but it should be noted that all the guarantees on that contract have run out, which adds even more emphasis for the Bucs to get something done ASAP. Question is, how much is he worth? Age, not a factor here. He's only going to be 31 this coming season, and he's playing his best football as of late. What have you done for me lately? $51 million a year would be what it takes for him to hold a top 10 contract at the position. Of course, Dak sits on top at $60 million a year. And then you've got a bunch of guys that are tied for second. Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, Jordan Love, all making $55 million a year. Buy or sell, Vinny, when Baker signs his next deal, it will be market resetting.
Market resetting? I'll sell that. I'll sell that. I was kind of trying to think, who's the comparable? You know, would Jared Goff be a good comparison for him?
For Mayfield?
Yeah.
I think maybe. He puts up better stats.
Which one?
Baker does. His looks better in the box score, I guess. But they're both kind of like the captain of a well-rounded team. A winning team. Although, with Baker, though, I'm coming up short.
I'm Baker's agent, I'm saying, well, he's better than Trevor Lawrence and probably got all the stats to prove that he's better than Trevor Lawrence. So it's going to be more probably than they want to pay, but they're going to have to pay.
Yeah, Jared Goff and Brock Purdy in that next tier down, both making 53 a year. Justin Herbert, 52.5.
Oh, boy.
Ay, ay, ay.
Lamar at 52.
Yeah.
That will be changing.
There's your market setting deal right
there. That will
be changing,
yes.
But Tampa missed the playoffs last year. They had a ton of injuries. It wasn't all Baker's fault, but let's point that out. In a division where no team finished above 500.
Go back to baseball here. Talking about hitting streaks today. This might be the first and last time you hear us mention the name Ildemar Vargas during buy or sell, but it's for good reason. Over the weekend, he had his 27-game hit streak snapped, the streak dating all the way back to the tail end of last season. Don't feel too bad for him, though, still hitting .382 on the season, the best batting average in all of the majors. Streaks of this length have obviously happened before many times in baseball history, but have become way less frequent in recent years. I'm seeing here 82 hitting streaks of at least 25 games since 1969, but there have only been six since the end of the 2016 season. The last time someone did what Vargas did at 27 in a row was Trey Turner in 2022. Buy or sell, Bob, it will be four more years until someone else matches 27 in a row or surpasses
it. Yeah, I'll go ahead and buy that. I mean, I remember Pete Rose had a 44-gamer. Paul Molitor had a 37-gamer. Like Joe DiMaggio's 56-game. And I think after his 56-game streak got ended, he had another 16-game hitting streak on top of that. I'll buy that. And Vargas, by the way, and I mentioned it earlier in the show, he's the one that hit the 3-run homer off Trevor Rogers that turned that game around against the Diamondbacks, where the Orioles, they're 6-13 since they came back and won that Monday Nighter. And I'll look it up here, but I think Vargas was just named as the National League Player of the Month for April.
Well-deserved. Well-traveled career.
And he screwed the Orioles.
Yes. But it is like, again, you mentioned the name Ildemar Vargas. A lot of people out there saying, is that a real person?
It's a lot of syllables.
Exactly. But yeah, I think he's been in the league for like a decade, and his grand total war for his entire career is still 3. So this is coming completely out of nowhere. I mean, he's a replacement-level player that's somehow the stars are aligning right now. Keep it going, man. It's been fun. Go back to the NFL. Anthony Richardson, this has been news this week. We know he wanted out of Indianapolis. The Colts were willing to trade him. Problem is, doesn't seem like anybody wants him. Their GM, Chris Ballard, was asked if there were any inquiries around the draft. Said no. Does that surprise you, Chris Ballard? Quote, nothing surprises me anymore. We'll have a little patience here, see what happens. A new wrinkle added this week, though, when Richardson showed up for voluntary workouts after missing the first few weeks of the program. Buy or sell, Vinny, Richardson will end up stuck in Indianapolis through this year, the remainder of his rookie contract.
I'm going to sell it. You know, I don't know, because I think they want Riley Leonard to be the backup. So having him, Richardson, around as a third quarterback, I think he'd be disgruntled. I think they will eventually get rid of him. I think the biggest problem is, you know, the interest, like Chris Ballard was saying, is not great. So what you're going to get is a sixth or seventh round pick, something like that, for the guy who was the fourth pick in the draft.
Right. I mean, you're already taking the loss there.
Right.
Financially, I believe if he gets traded, the cap hits split. So it'd be about $5 million and $5 million. So you're not saving a ton. But
it's not about saving. It's about saving face.
Yeah. Let's see here. Before we hit the break, get the Kevin Allstriker in just a second here. Day twos of giveaways this week. I got two tickets here. Jason Aldean, Luke Bryan, the Double Down Tour with Dylan Scott, Dasha, DJ Silver, DJ Rock. This thing is loaded. Loaded
like Woodstock.
Lineup. Yeah, man, everybody's there. August 20th, they'll be at Nationals Park. We're giving these away courtesy of Live Nation. Tickets on sale this Friday, but you could be our lucky winner today if you are lucky number 7, 410-583-1057. One more time, that number, 410-583-1057.
And real quick, Vargas, Arizona started, Minnesota, Chicago, Cubs, Pittsburgh, Arizona again, Cubs again, Washington, Arizona. The Diamondbacks love this guy.
Damn.
Call up, caller 7, go see that awesome concert that Nolan Chiz is talking about. Kevin Allstriker, talking Ravens next.
What happens next happens here. Baltimore Sports Radio.
That ball is out of here.
105.7 The Fan.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mysteries Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside Access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Search Baltimore 105.7 The Fan. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you miss. 105.7 The Fan. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
Trey Gibson entered this season as one of the Orioles' top prospects, and it was pretty much a guarantee. Another day brings another blowout for the Orioles. They wrapped up their series against the Yankees last night with a 12-1 loss, and that was a fitting end to a four-game stretch where Baltimore never led for even a half inning. Their negative 29 run differential in the series also ties a franchise low for a four-game set. The O's now find themselves 9 games back of New York in the AL East standings.
Didn't really give ourselves a chance to win, whether it be mistakes, miscues, whatever the case may be, but that's not us. You know, like this series just felt like we just couldn't stop the bleeding in the big inning, or we shot ourselves in the foot.
There's a shell-shocked Craig Albernaz after the defeat. The Birds will be right back at it tonight for the start of a 3-game series against Miami. Chris Bassett gets the start in the opener, first pitch at 6:40. This Fan Flash is sponsored by the Maryland Lottery. Play home run riches from the Maryland Lottery. You could win instantly or win cash for Orioles home runs as a contestant of the game. Please play responsibly. From the Bob Bell Automotive Weather Center, plenty of sunshine with highs in the mid-80s. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage. 105.7 The Fan.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show. 105.7 The Fan.
Turn it up Tuesday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Contestant of the game last Thursday, first game won like 10 G's. Since then, not so much. Where's my scratch-offs? Maryland Lottery, but I digress. Ravens wrapped up rookie camp out of one winning drive. Here to talk about that. From USA Today, it's the Ravens Wire. It's Bob Haney, Vince Rodder, Nolan McGraw. Let's welcome in on the Window Nation guest hotline. Joins us every Tuesday. Kevin Allstriker. Kevin, good afternoon. How are you feeling there, big guy?
Feeling pretty good. Rookie minicamp in the books. You got just checking off those boxes before you get to the season. So obviously it's going to continue on for the rest of next couple of weeks and a couple of months, but I think Baltimore's in a pretty good spot right now.
What do you think about the two wide receivers that were drafted and then the two tight ends? And we heard from Quavis earlier, Elaine and Surratt, and then, of course, Hibner and Quavis. You're bringing in four young pass catchers to help the equation here. We know the Ravens lost two tight ends, Kohler and Isaiah Likely, in the offseason. So what? Early, let's stress early, not Orioles early, but early impressions of the four young dudes that were drafted to help Lamar and the offense this year.
Yeah, I think there are multiple ways you can kind of look at this. And honestly, with Surratt and Lane, it's funny because if you had told me those picks were flipped, I would have been like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But I think the Lane pick for a lot, because there are other receivers on the board with Lane. And I'm like, okay, that meant I would take this guy. Lane himself is good. But for Surratt, it's like, I thought he was going to go in the third round. So, like, if you flip both of the guys, you're like, all right, hey, that makes a lot of sense. But what honestly the Ravens are doing is, you know, they want those big body players for Lamar Jackson. And I think both guys are super intriguing and players that, I think, you know, with the way that the wide receiver room is laid out, you have Zay, you have Rashad Bateman, you have Tez Walker. There are other opportunities up for grabs now outside of those three. And so I think with the offense being a little different now, it's Ekwem Doyle coming in. We'll see how that works. And for the tight end spot, I think it's interesting because, and I know we were kind of talking about this a little bit last week, I think that there is a little bit of risk in, I guess, not replacing the Isaiah Likely in that room. Now, do they just plan to do that with the wide receivers? I don't really know. I mean, I think, again, both those guys are interesting players because I think with Hibner, you can kind of work him up the seam a lot and just kind of send him on those routes and is kind of a, I don't know, he's an interesting fit for what they want to do. And then Quavis is someone who I could see just being moved all around the football field and has a bunch of versatility, in my opinion, depending on how they want to use them. So I think that them taking the route of young guys, especially with taking two at each position, you have six wide receivers and four tight ends, these guys who I think are going to make the roster. So I think that probably rules out a guy like DeAndre Hopkins or David Njoku. So it seems like they're probably going to trust their youth a lot this year.
Now, Kevin, what did when you saw that the Ravens signed Calais Campbell, what was your first thoughts?
I loved it. And Calais is a guy I wanted back in Baltimore for a long time, and they obviously had to cut him when they did because of the salary cap stuff and his hit and whatnot. But you know, Eric DaCosta made it clear at the time that, you know, Calais was a Raven and, you know, maybe he would be back one day, and here we are. So I'm excited for it. I think it makes a lot of sense, especially because with the uncertainty surrounding Nandu Madibike, and I know all the reports have been positive and the workout videos have looked positive, but until we get, you know, the official word from either the team or, you know, it'll probably be Madibike at this point, who knows. You know, the position's still kind of, you're kind of wondering. So even if Nandu does come back and he has to miss a little bit of time at the start of the season, let's say he has to go on IR or the PUP for a little bit of time and then comes back midseason, I think Campbell's more than happy to, you know, play a bigger role early in the season if that's the case, and then kind of slide back a little once Nambi comes back. But it gives them depth there, and I think they should have made this move whether Nambi does come back or not. It gives them an incredibly deep defensive line room. Campbell is still playing at a really high level too. It's not like he's this kind of veteran type of presence that isn't going to play a bunch and isn't playing that well anymore. No, I mean, he still is really good against the run, really good as a pass rusher. And so he's going to bring you that on the interior. We know how he is off of the field and as a leader. So I think that there aren't really a lot of downsides to this move and getting them. I think the reports are at around $5.5 million. I mean, that's something that I would have done. And they're like, with the guys that are available, I think that's totally fine. So I'm excited Calais is back, and I think he'll have an impact this year.
Now, is the future starting center on the roster right now? And if he is not, when would you anticipate them making that move?
Yeah, this is such a hard question because my immediate gut goes to no. But at the same time, you know, the second part of your question, that's the big part where I know Eric DaCosta has been on multiple programs and stuff and is floated the idea of trading for a center or cap casualty or, you know, whatever that might be. But, you know, cap casualty and stuff, you know, you're talking about like end of August type deal for that. And that's just way, 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 way too late. You need to probably get somebody in at the very latest, right around the start of training camp, if not before that. And so is that a trade? Obviously, you kind of look at the teams that took a center in the draft, Logan Jones with Chicago, with Garrett Bradbury, who they just traded for him. Is he an option? in Cincinnati, they took two guys that could be centers. So is that maybe a Ted Karras move? You know, Los Angeles with Slaughter, Jake Slaughter. I don't know if they're going to move off of Tyler Biadasz. I think it might be more of the they're going to try one at guard, one at center. I'm not sure. So I don't know. The options in free agency aren't that, like, wonderful either, where, you know, your top option is Graham Glasgow. You have Ethan Postich, who's recovering from an injury he suffered last season. You can bring back Sam Mustipher if you wanted to. Like, those are the types of options we're talking about. But at the same time, you do have a look, it's good they have competition with the guys they have now on the roster with, you know, Gwen and Pinter and Bullock and Nick Dawkins in there as well. But I would probably anticipate them trying to look really hard at a free agent option and trying to get him in before training camp. But the only issue is there aren't a lot of guys left.
The way I would look at it, if it gets into training camp and you need a guy, to me, you probably would need to go to Chicago or to Detroit because the terminology would be similar and the guy would not have a problem just coming in right away and fitting in.
Yeah, that's where I would go to. I think, you know, to me, a veteran option makes a lot of sense here. And I think that while there is potential a young guy steps up, I just think it's the safer option. And I know that Pinter is technically a veteran, but I just want someone with a little bit more experience there. So I think that Chicago makes a lot of sense. I think Bradbury makes a lot of sense. And, you know, they'd have to feel confident in Logan Jones to be able to make that move. But, I mean, they took him in the second round. So, obviously, I think they plan to play him. So I think while Bradbury was a good option at the time, especially considering, you know, their center retired in pretty shocking fashion, I think that if they could get Bradbury, it'd complete a pretty good offseason.
Now, how do you think they're going to use Adam Randall?
I think they can use him a lot of different ways. Obviously, he's behind Henry and Hill, and, you know, the pass protection isn't quite there yet. But the cool thing about it is he's still learning the position and still trying to get into that aspect of it. So I think, to me, when you're looking at a guy like Randall, you can use him as a receiver out of the backfield on some third downs, potentially, if you don't need that pass protection element. Now, obviously, over the course of training camp, you hope that improves a little bit. I'm not sure how many snaps he gets, but you could even draw up some specific plays for him if you wanted to. But the size, the speed, all that combination makes him super intriguing. And I think, I mean, hey, who better to learn from than Derrick Henry over the course of a season here or just however long Henry stays in Baltimore? So I think that Randall, that there won't be like a ton of opportunities, I don't think, for him. Obviously, you're still going to ride Derrick Henry as kind of your workhorse running back. And Hill's going to be your change of pace third down guy with his pass protection. And obviously, they trust him a lot in that situation. But, you know, essentially taking over Rasheen Ali's role last year, where Ali still got opportunities and carries and stuff. But, you know, I wouldn't think anything super crazy. This is probably more of just a learning year for Adam Randall. But at the same time, I think that if he does need to step up in a couple of different ways over the course of a season, if guys go down or you need that extra boost, I think he could do that.
He's Kevin Ostreicher, USA Today, the Ravens Wire. Kevin, what's happening there as we're, what, a little more than a week away, we guess, from the schedule release and less than 3 weeks away from the first OTA of the Jesse Minter era here?
Yeah, just wrapping up draft, figuring out what to do with, I guess, the free time is we're kind of waiting for the schedule, like you mentioned, and then the kind of lull period here before OTA. So trying to figure out what other moves the Ravens could make and trying to see how they can put the finishing touches on their roster.
And if Nick Dawkins is from the planet Lovetron, like his dad Daryl was way back when, he's Kevin Ostreicher, USA Today, the Ravens Wire. Kevin, we appreciate it as always. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday.
You got it, guys. Thanks so much.
Here he is. We'll come back, take some phone calls. Kevin Ostreicher, always fun to talk to him. NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. American League East Report at 1:15, when we know the Orioles did not go well for them last night or over the weekend in the Bronx. But other things happening in the division, the Tampa Bay Rays just keep stacking wins. And the Wizard, Walt Williams, talk about the NBA playoffs. You know, the guy that actually played in the NBA playoffs. We'll catch up with the Wiz coming up around 1:30.
After Vinny and Haney, it's Inside Access.
The weekend in the Bronx didn't go as expected, but what did Mike Fornick think about the O's against the Yankees, and how can they get better defensively? Also, Big Ben McDonald from Masson joins us, and what's he think about the starting pitching? He'll tell us.
Next on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
This
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
Spurs young phenom center Victor Wembanyama had 12 blocks, an NBA postseason record, in San Antonio's loss in Game 1 to Minnesota, but went 0 of 8 from downtown, which would be like a Michelin star chef serving the best appetizer you've ever had, the best drinks you've ever had, and then a frozen pizza with mozzarella sticks as the entree. Hey, Victor, you're 7'6". Maybe drive down the lane and dunk the basketball coming up in Game 2. I'm Nick Kostos.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Sponsored by Valor Roofing. Trust your home to Valor.
NFL lunch coming up top of the hour. We're going to hear more from Jesse Minter and some of the young guys. We heard a little bit from Jose Cuevas. He was the welterweight champion of the world back in the late 70s until 1980 when Tommy Hearns knocked him into next week with a big right hand out there at Joe Louis Arena in Detroit. But Josh Cuevas, we're going to hear from more from Adam Randall. Also going to hear from Venga and Chandler Rivers, the DB coming out of Duke University. So stick around for that. American League East report coming up at 1:15. Talk about what happened in the division last night. It wasn't the Orioles getting their asses whipped. And we're going to bring that up. We'll preview their series against the Marlins as well. Then we'll talk NBA playoffs with the Wizard Walt Williams. The Knicks, they're just mashing people. And then Minnesota steals one at San Antonio as Ant-Man comes back handling business. And Julius Randle, who quietly just gets the job done, did what he had to do tonight. Lakers taking on OKC. And you got Cleveland and Detroit, both teams surviving seven-game series. And J.B. Bickerstaff, Nolan, coach of Detroit, was fired by Cleveland because they didn't think he could get them over the hump. Wouldn't you think that would be a nice little turn of events? But let's get out to the phones. Chris in New Jersey. Chris, what's up?
Vinny, Bob, Quick Draw, how you guys doing?
Doing all right, Chris.
Thank you for taking my call. Vinny, been listening to you since you were with Rob in the afternoon, man. It's been a long time.
Appreciate it.
Just quick comment on Mark Andrews going back earlier. Vinny, I just want to add to what you said. As from a fan's perspective, I don't think he needs to work on his explosiveness, and I don't know why the Ravens would even consider getting a faster tight end. What I would want to see is just him continue to work on his, stay big, keep his muscles up, size and strength, and just be where you got to be at the right time. I don't think him being 30 years old now, he has been in the league a long time, but he's still young. He's still a elite tight end and pass catcher. I would just like him continue to work with Lamar and be at the right place at the right time. I mean, he's still one of the best tight ends in the league, and I don't think any of that's changing. And I don't even, with all the other things to work on, why are they even thinking about tight end?
Well,
thanks, guys.
Yeah, the thing about it is I don't think he's elite anymore. I think he's regressing, and the numbers will kind of show that, yeah, too.
He scored a bunch of touchdowns two years ago.
Right. So I think what they've done is, you know, when you kind of look at it, they brought in two receivers in this draft that are big targets, contested catches guys that maybe take some of those catches away from tight ends, possibly. Because basically they're, you know, that type of guy.
Let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Ed in Arbutus. Ed, what's up?
Bob, Vinny, Nolan, good day to you, gentlemen.
Good day.
Hey, Ed.
Yes, sir. Must-dos to win baseball games and avoid the circus inning. He starts on the mound with first pitch strikes to stay ahead in the count. Team defense at every position must be in mound harmony to make all the routine plays. Every inning on defense, the most important out is the opposition leadoff hitter. If you get him out more times than not, you limit their offensive strategy to move runners. You stay in a game to win a game. But you have to understand and execute bat barrel probability team shading for all hitters in the box. Clearly identify speed and power. Center fielder, and a crown for peripheral vision to see the corner outfielders for angle of pursuit help on the corners, left field, right field, close the gaps, and run to the foul lines, which are your allies. Learn to play outfield as if you have five outfielders. Field all hits clean and hit the cutoff chest to head high every time to keep the infield force outs alive is super important. For infielders, it's the same theory. Learn to play with six infielders. Foul lines are your allies. Be sure to defend all balls hit in fair territory with probability, flat barrel, shading, positioning. Don't infield panic in worst-case situational scenarios that are going to happen every game. Runners on second and third, no outs. Defensively, up on the corners, halfway middle. Shortstop, ride the hip pocket on the trail runner for a possible line drive, double play, get out of the inning. Corner guys who are up, if runner breaks on contact, take a good angle, throw him out. If you field it clean. If he stays, I freeze him, fire to first for the out. Bases loaded, no outs. Middle infielders, cheat the second base bag, equal distance to roll two. Corners finish parallel to your bags for line drive catch and step off tag or bag for two. Base running. Should never run yourself out of a rally inning. Don't get picked. Run with your head up to see if the front right base runner is attempting to advance or stay put to decide what you're going to do. Offensively, the only stat of meaning in the sport of baseball is on-base percentage because you are a potential run to be scored. Last thing, squeaky clean defense. The thrown baseball should never touch the ground. When the batted ball occurs, your team should always form a three-man triangle of pursuit. Same thing for all balls thrown. Be there in backup readiness to assume control and record now. That's it, gentlemen, and I thank you for your courtesy.
And Arbutus, send your resume to Camden Yards, man. And by the way, throwing baseballs with the Orioles, remember the Benny Hill music they used to play? That's when the ball's rolling all over the place for the Orioles. That's the music that's playing. This is a team, you talk about, you, foul line is your friend. It's like the out-of-bounds line of football.
No doubt.
I mean, and the Orioles are just like, it's like they're learning a new position. Dylan Beavers was drafted as an outfielder. Okay, learning center field's different than playing a corner outfield spot. And he looked a little more comfortable in right field last night at Yankee Stadium. Yeah, he had the ball bouncing around in the corner. But the other, Taylor Ward, it's like, well, Camden Yards a little more difficult than, you know, Anaheim. That much more difficult? Where it looks like you've never played left field before and watching him play it at Yankee Stadium, it's a different, you know what I mean? I don't get it. I'm not feeling it. Colton Cowser's their best defensive outfielder, but he can't get on base enough, even though he did have a solid game last night. That's a breakthrough. Two walks.
Yeah. And a crushed a single.
Yeah, well, throw him a fastball around the plate, and he's going to wear it out like most Major League Baseball players worth their salt. The Orioles in Miami taking on the Marlins tonight. We'll preview that when we come back in the 1 o'clock hour for the American League East Report. But when we come back, it's NFL lunch. Talk more about the Ravens out there at rookie camp this past weekend. Just waiting for the next phase of the offseason to begin, which includes OTAs, which starts what? Today's the 5th? I believe it's like little more than 2 weeks. Got some OTAs coming your way out at One Winning Drive.
Wherever the Orioles season takes you.
Say goodbye to this ball.
Download the free Odyssey app and hear reactions to all the biggest moments. Download it today and search 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, it's your buddy Bob Haney here. Are you seeing the prices at grocery stores lately? It feels like the numbers just keep going up. But listen, I don't sweat it because I use Upside. With the Upside app, I get cash back whenever I shop at giant locations, and you can too. It's easy. Simply download the free Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and start earning cash for buying the groceries you're already buying. And if you thought it couldn't get any better, my limited time promo code CHARM15 gets you an extra $10 bonus on your first purchase. You know what's wild? A family of four is spending $1,200 a month on groceries right now. I saw that number and thought there has to be a smarter way to do this. And I found it. It's called Upside. Don't wait. Download the free Upside app now and use my promo code CHARM15 to redeem your $10 bonus at any Giant location. That's promo code CHARM15. Join the real people earning money just for buying groceries. Plus, you can cash out anytime to your bank account or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. What are you waiting for? Download the free Upside app now using my limited time promo code CHARM15 for a $10 bonus on your first purchase at any Giant location. Offers vary by user and location. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.